the seventh sorrow, the burial of Jesus. When a mother is by the side of her suffering and dying child, she undoubtedly feels and suffers all his pain. But after he is actually dead, when before the body is carried to the grave, the afflicted mother must bid her child a last farewell. You see them. Then indeed the thought that she is to see him no more is a grief which exceeds all other griefs. Behold the last sword of our Lady's sorrow, which we can now consider. For after witnessing the death of her son on the cross and embracing for a last time his lifeless body, this blessed mother had to leave him in the sepulchre, never more to enjoy his beloved presence on earth. St. Alphonsus observes that thus was Mary with her son locked in her arms, absorbed in grief. The holy disciples, fearful that the poor mother might die of grief, approached her to take the body of her son from her arms, to bear it away for burial. This they did with gentle and respectful violence. Now, by violence, we don't mean that Our Lady's like, no, don't take. That's not it. It's just the natural inclination of the mother to maintain that unity with her son, and so they had to take him from her, which is a violence to her interior soul, not in peeling her away from him, but in the violence that she has to undergo interiorly in relinquishing his body. And then embalmed it, and they wrapped it in a linen cloth, which was already prepared. On this cloth, which is still preserved in Turin, our Lord was pleased to leave the world an impression of his sacred body. The disciples then bore him to the tomb. To do this, they first of all raised the sacred body on their shoulders, and then the mournful train set forth. Choirs of angels from heaven accompanied it, St. Alphonsus says. And the holy women followed, and with them the afflicted mother also followed her son to the place of burial. When they had reached the appointed place, St. Alphonsus says, oh, how willing would Mary have there buried herself alive with her son, had such been his will. And she revealed this, Our Lady revealed this, actually to St. Bridget. The Blessed Mother, writes St. Fulgentius, would ardently have desired to have buried her soul with the body of Christ. And thus Mary herself revealed to St. Bridget, saying, I can truly say that at the burial of my son, one tomb contained, as it were, two hearts. Finally, the disciples raised the stone and closed up the Holy Sepulchre and in it the body of our Lord. This mother, says St. Bernard, went away so afflicted and sad that she moved many to tears in spite of themselves. And wherever she passed, all who met her wept and could not restrain their tears. And he adds that the holy disciples and women who accompanied her mourned even more for her than for our Lord because of the tremendous suffering she underwent. Some saints say that Our Lady suffered so tremendously from the time in which he was placed in the tomb until the time in which he rose that our Lord deigned to come to comfort her before his rising. The difference at this stage between the completion in the sacrifice and the burial. In theology, we make a distinction between consummatum and finitum. And it's even in the Mass. You know, the priest, the consummatum Mass is when the priest consumes the host. But the finitum Mass is ite missa est. Go, it is completed, or it is accomplished, or it has been sent. In the old rite, we know that it's not go, the Mass is ended. It's not it at all. It's the ritual is complete. It has been sent. What's the it? Well, there's different levels of sacrifice. There's the Calvary sacrifice. There's the splitting of the species sacramentally. That's one. And then the third is the completion of the ritual sacrifice. That's the ite missa est. Go, it's been sent. The it is the sacrifice has been sent to God. And part of the reason we know this is because immediately after that, the word obfere, which means to offer, is now put in the past tense, where before in the Mass, it's always in the present tense or in the future tense up until that point. And also during Lent, it used to be during the whole of Lent, but now in the 62, it's actually only for the sacred triduum. the priest turns around and says, instead of ETMS, Benedicamus Domino. And that's, let us bless the Lord. In other words, the reason you don't say ETMS est is because the sacrificing still continues all through Lent. And in this particular case, the 62, the sacrifice begins on Thursday and it ends on Sunday morning. So, in the relationship to Our Lady, the consummatum est is her Christ dying on our Lord and her dying with her on the Lord. But it's not over yet. It's not until he's buried that it's finished. So, as she's passing from the tomb, she knows it's done. It's finally finished. There's a common mistake from everybody today to think that Our Lady led a poster card life that was all hunky-dory, joys and consolations and wonderful and fairy tale and etc. But no one ever suffered the way she did. If you are suffering, you need to go to her. If you're wounded, you need to go to her. Whether it is from your sin or the sins of others, because of the fact that she understands what it means to suffer from other people's sins. It's people's sins that put her son to death. Not her own, because she was sinless. But although the cross was the merit by which she was immaculately conceived, just applied back in time. And so you can go to her in your own sufferings, because she knows how to console, because she went through it. There's a prayer by St. Bonaventure, and we'll end with this. Lady, who by thy sweetness dost ravage the hearts of men, hast thou not ravaged mine? O ravager of hearts, when wilt thou restore me mine? Rule and govern it with like thine own, preserve it in the blood of the Lamb, and place it in thy Son's side. Then shall I obtain what I desire and possess what I hope for thou art our hope.